This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Rich Moreno.
And I'm Jonathan Wall.
The longtime Chicago media critic Robert Feeder recently reported that Phil Ponce is no longer just the host of Public Television's Chicago Tonight program. From now on, he's the Alexandra and John Nichols chief correspondent and host for the public television station up in Chicago. The naming rights have been sold for his job. You planning on doing anything similar here, Jonathan?
That's the ABC Corporation general manager, Jonathan Ault, to you.
Sorry about that.
No, I don't, and nor would I hope to. Although it does, while it sets a dangerous precedent, any time that you would name a journalist for anybody, you know, if it may make it a little less egregious if you're doing it to honor someone who has who's upheld the spirit of journalism or something like that. You know, I don't think anybody would have too much of an issue if a newspaper editorial position was called the Ben Bradley editorial seat, you know, if it was named in honor of somebody. But it's a needless way to start going down a slippery slope. I think that that you know journalists have enough problems of even when they are 100% unbiased and above influence, they have a hard time proving that to people. And if you've got somebody's name or some foundation's name or even worse, some company's name next to your title, that makes that darn near impossible.
Well, and we can see that that problem arise with naming rights for football stadiums. Who wanted to be in the Enron stadium mm-hmm. after the Enron scandal? I mean, you can go down the list of things. It's obviously, you know, this is a money issue. And public radio, shall we turn this into a pledge drive? Public radio can always use your money. But I agree with you. I think this is a slippery slope. You know, when does it stop? When do we start having the host of, you know, NBC Nightly News you know, suddenly sponsored by, you know, Alco. And, you know, and it reminds me actually of when you look at old television programs and they used to have, you know, Alcoa presents, you know, John Cameron Swayze in the Nightly News. And so it's actually kind of a throwback in some ways to that over-commercialization that occurred in the early days, at least in television and somewhat in radio. I understand why this public television station is doing this. I certainly, you know, get it. But I do think it's kind of a slippery slope you have to be careful about.
Yeah, and newspapers went down a little bit of a slippery slope with putting that ad on the front page.
Yep.
The front page used to be clear of advertisements. There was a lot of debate about that, and it's really commonplace now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. In fact, the Courier. We're talking about it. We've had an advertiser express interest in buying a banner across the bottom. It's very lucrative, and you know, given the financial situation of most newspapers, it's something you consider. So you're right. You know, it's not all that dissimilar in some ways of putting ads on the front page. I will say that if you look at 19th century newspapers, they're filled with ads on the front page. So it's not like that's something that wasn't done. It's more of a 20th century thing not to have ads. But still, I think it is. How do you trust? How do you think that something that you're reading is objective when it's got this big commercial, this big advertisement that's attached to it?
In the same respect, though, it does raise a legitimate question. And, you know, here we're talking about a public television station, a nonprofit entity. If journalism is going to stay viable, even in a nonprofit circumstance, if people don't respond to the unbiased, non-commercial, alleviating all of those things and step up with their funding to do it, then it's going to be very, very tempting for companies and organizations to say, well, maybe we do let this slide a little bit and we take a little bit of money to do this or a little bit of money to do that. So I've always said that, you know, people in general get the media that they want. And if people respond by consuming media and supporting media that is free of this kind of thing, that's the way to keep it out.
Well, remember, public broadcasting started without any type of advertising whatsoever. And eventually we started to see underwriting come into play because you need to come up with some extra money from someplace.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, it's always about trying to find the balance between the financial realities and also making sure that you are free of even it's not the problem with being influenced. It's the appearance of it.
Right.
Because I don't think even in circumstances where it looks really, really bad, I still don't even think that journalists are doing things because of a financial interest. It's the appearance of it. So that's where I think the real problem is. And hopefully we can see very, very little to none of this kind of thing and more focus on good journalism and people responding to it with their consumption on it, of it, clicking on it, listening to it, reading it, and in some cases supporting it financially.
Before we went on the air, Jonathan, we were trying to remember the station. Wasn't there a radio station that had its newsroom named after someone or sponsored, but they sold the naming rights to the newsroom?
Yeah, this was on a radio station. I think it was 10 to 15 years ago, and I wish I remembered the details, but they actually sold the naming rights to the newsroom. So they would say, and here with the, you know, 123 Bank and Trust News is Joe Schmo or
well,
whatever.
You'll hear that on commercial radio, though, all the time, where the Bob and Tom show or something, and they'll say,
"But this was specifically for the news.
This wasn't a commercial entertainment program.
I don't think anybody has too much of a problem with, you know, the Late Show with David Letterman brought to you by so and so. It was that we now go to the this company newsroom with an update from, you know, Jane Smith or whoever, and I think that was really egregious, and how could you possibly ever take their reporting on that company, that industry, seriously?
Well, yeah. I mean, can you imagine in an area like this if you were to suddenly, say, in this the news with Rich Eggers in the Archer's Daniel Midland newsroom, how could you cover anything dealing with agribusiness?
Right.
So I could see it as a terrible precedent.
Or if you had if there was some sort of controversy with that particular company that was doing the underwriting or doing the sponsorship, I guess I should say, and you weren't right on top of the story, I think people would maybe even accuse you of covering it up.
Sure. And then there's the other thing is that when that company comes up for renewal, they're going to call Jonathan and they're going to say, you know, you guys didn't do a job that we were happy with, you know, in covering this particular issue. You know, if you want our grant to come again next year, you're going to have to cut back. I mean, there could be those pressures that come.
Well, and I can say that if that pressure ever came to bear, my response would be, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. Our audience values our integrity, and we have to keep that separation. And if that was the difference between taking money and not taking it, we wouldn't take it. Yeah. But I also think that a lot of organizations, even nonprofit media, are sometimes tempted to say, well, maybe we can rephrase this a little bit. And I think that that's dangerous, and it leads to a public that is less informed and can't trust anybody for good information anymore. And that's the real downfall to democracy.
Well, there's always that concern, that battle you have to fight because money talks.
But it don't sing and dance. And it
we
don't
are
walk.
Done with our song and dance for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.